Our scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, page 869, Ephesians chapter 2, 11 to 22. Ephesians chapter 2, 11 to 22. Please follow along as I read. Page 869 in the New Testament. Paul writes, "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups into one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How many of you have either asked or heard this question? Let's see, is this a trick where it's not going to work? Here we go. And the question is, "Daddy, where does God live?" Who said that? Who's heard that said? Or, "Mama, what's God's address? What's God's address?" Now see, if we read through our Bibles, we know that in the Old Testament, God repeatedly said, "I will be with you." And he would speak to the people, "I'm your God, I will be with you wherever you go." Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they would hear his audible voice. Sometimes God would appear as the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ. And those were called theophanies. And God would show up. But ultimately, where, if you were living in the Old Testament times, where would you go to find God? The temple. Remember, the Holy of Holies, the Shekinah glory, came down onto the Holy of Holies. The priests would enter in. That is where you would find God. So if you want to know God's address, Temple Mount, Jerusalem, Palestine. That's it. Well, but then at Christmas time, what do we sing? Emmanuel, God with us. That was Jesus' nickname at birth. We call our little kids Takis and all that. Well, Jesus' prenatal name was Emmanuel, God with us, because when he was born, we call it the incarnation, God, the living God, became a human being, born in a little baby, God with us. And so when Jesus walked the earth with his disciples, where was his address? Started where? Bethlehem, right? And then it was Nazareth. And then on the road to Judea, Galilee, Jerusalem, and finally in a tomb. Where's God? Behind that rock. But then the stone was rolled away. Christ is risen. So now, because Ephesians speaks of God's story, we want to keep looking. What's God's story? So where's God's address now? Where is it now? Can you say that out loud? The church. A little bit louder, please. The church. Where are you going to find God now? Since Pentecost, since the Holy Spirit has come, see, Jesus has done the impossible. Jesus has done the impossible. The dwelling of God is not independent of human beings. It's now in his people. God has done the impossible, and he still does. The church, the people of God, you want to know God's address? Well, one of them is 430 South First Street on Sunday mornings between 11 and 12:15. But it's not bound geographically. See, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the church, the community of witnesses, we experience the presence of God locally, in the church, in the people of God. It's not the building, but since that's the metaphor Paul uses repeatedly in this and other places, Peter uses as well, we'll go with the building metaphor, okay? So as long as we're clear, this isn't the church, as beautiful it is, as it is. We are the church. As long as we get that clear, we'll go with the metaphor. Because when you're going to have a building, let's see, could you help me out here, please? Here we go. Let's see, when you have a building, you just go ahead and move it to the next slide, please. You need an architect. Now, you plan it, architect, that's the designer. Then you need a builder. A builder. Could you just go ahead and do that for me as I speak? You need a builder. Then you need the materials. So you've got to have the architect, the designer, you need the builder, need the materials. And so very clearly, as we look through the scriptures, particularly in Ephesians, we find that the architect is God the Father. The builder is God the Son. And the materials, don't fall, don't trip, because it's not the Holy Spirit, it's humanity, it's people. It's people. See, the passage breaks down pretty easily for us, and it's really a connection to what Bodvili Phil spoke of last week. In the first 10 verses, we saw that who we are, who we were apart from Christ. And then we had that expression, but God. And then what God did to solve our problem of our separation. And then the consequences of it. And that was verses 1 and 2, verse 4, 1 through 3, then verse 4, 4 through 7, and then 8 through 10. But today, 11 and 12, you look at it, that's the problem, who we were apart from Christ. And then in verse 13, we read, but now in Christ Jesus. So this is God's big but. Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's a big but. It's a contrast. It's not this, but now what God has done in Christ is explained in verses 14 to 18, and then now 19 through 22 is what we possess and can experience within the church. See, just like verse 1 of chapter 2 spoke of being dead, we're going to start going up. We're going to start with the materials, the people, what God has to work with to build his church. And it starts with people, Jews and Gentiles. We're Gentiles, non-Jews. And listen to what he says. We're the uncircumcised. We're separate. We're excluded. We're foreigners. We're without hope. And we are without God. We're strangers. That is bad news. That is really bad news. Just a second ago, when we were singing, breathe, O breath of God. I lost it, because the lyrics talked about the sons and daughters who are prodigals. This isn't just in the Bible. There are real people that you know and love who fall into these categories. They're uncircumcised. They're separated from God. They're excluded from God's promises. They're foreigners. They're without hope. They have no confident expectation that something good is going to happen in their lives. They're strangers. Would you just let that hit you? This isn't just 2,000 years ago. This is today. There are people that we come across every day. They're our children's friends. They're the parents of our children's friends. They're our neighbors. They're our colleagues. They're our cousins. For some, it's our parents, our grandparents. That's an ugly, ugly list. I don't want anybody I know to be on that list. But that list describes me and describes you apart from Christ. See, we're not Jews. Maybe there's circumcision, but we're not citizens of the commonwealth. We don't have the covenants of promise. We don't have hope. We don't have God, and we're not members of his household. See, the Jews really were a uniquely chosen people. God revealed himself to them uniquely, while the rest of nations were floundering in the darkness. Armenians worshiping the sun, other nations worshiping animals, the moon, you take your pick. The world was lost. God gave the people of Israel a unique revelation of himself. And yeah, we may find that offensive, but it is the way it was. That's the way God did it. Listen to what he says to the people as he gave Moses the law. Deuteronomy 4, 7 and 8. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? There's no other nation like that. And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws that I am setting before you today? No other nation was like them. But they squandered it. They squandered it. They were supposed to be the light to the nations. They were to be the light of the world. But the nations didn't come to Jerusalem to worship. They didn't flood the nations flood from the nations to the temple as was prophesied. It didn't happen because the people were unfaithful. They were unfaithful, but though all people be unfaithful, our God is faithful no matter what. God keeps his promises. See, in Christ the Son, here's our builder, the far away, all of those things are still true without Christ. But in the Son brought near, the barrier is gone. The dividing wall is gone. Hostility gone. One new humanity. That's what the builder has done. He has brought together those who are far away. But now in Christ, you who are once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He himself is our peace, who made the two groups one and destroyed the barrier and the dividing wall of hostility by setting aside in his flesh the law and its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. peace, 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 peace. And it's in Christ the Son. He's reconciled. He's reconciled. It's peace with God, but it's also peace between people. Now, fellow citizens, listen to what a second century BC person described as, it's in by William Barclay. He says, the Jew had an immense contempt for the Gentile. The Gentiles, said the Jews, were created by God to be fuel for the fires of hell. God, they said, loves only Israel and all the nations that he had made. It was not even lawful to render help to a Gentile mother in her hour of sorest need, for that would simply be to bring another Gentile into the world. Until Christ came, the Gentiles were an object of contempt to the Jews. The barrier between them was absolute. If a Jewish boy married a Gentile girl, or if a Jewish girl married a Gentile boy, the funeral of that Jewish boy or girl was carried out. Such contact with a Gentile was the equivalent of death. But now, in Christ Jesus, what has God done? God has torn down the walls. We normally think of the cross as being primarily about us in relationship to God. And again, that was last week. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God, being rich in mercy, has brought us into relationship with himself through Christ. But here, he's saying it's horizontal as well. This isn't just an add-on. The church isn't just an extra credit thing for Christians who have a personal relationship with God. The church is his plan, the horizontal connection. The horizontal connection between human beings. I mean, the law prescribed this separation, but it's gone now in Christ. Christ has reconciled us to himself. Dogs become people. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? One of my close friends, when I was living in Chicago, they came from Iran, and they were obviously Armenians, and they were Christians as well. But the Persians that live with them would not allow them to touch the meat. If they Armenian, their family had a butcher in it, they said, no, we you can't touch our meat, because we don't want our meat touched by dogs. You're not a dog. In the sight of God, no matter how cute you may think a dog is, or how much you despise a street dog's just scavenging, you are a child of the living God in Jesus Christ. Dogs can become people, but how? How did he do it? How did our God do it? The blood of Christ. In his body, he fulfilled the law. In his body, he brought the two together. The blood of Christ. Please ask God that you would never get over the fact that the blood of Christ was shed to forgive your sins, my sins. He gave his only son. He gave his only son. His blood is so precious, so valuable, that it cancels our debt. It cleanses us. It makes us acceptable. It makes us worthy. It makes us worthy to be called children of God. No longer slaves. No longer Jew. No longer Gentile. No longer slave or free man. No longer male or female, we are one in Christ. See, Jesus has done the impossible. He's done the impossible, and he still does. How many of you listen to TED Talks? Does anybody listen to those? TED Talks are these 18-minute messages where people gather together, and they say that these are the talks that are supposed to change the world. Actually, whenever I watch them, it's like, you know, it's sort of a little creepy. because it sort of feels like 21st century church, but without God, without Jesus. Their goal is to create a unified humanity where we could get over the divisions that mar us. Just yesterday I was watching one where a Muslim Indian Nigerian, Muslim Indian Nigerian was speaking about this initiative that she started, and it actually is tremendous, where they called on the faith community, different religions, to paint all their houses of worship yellow. And the goal was so that the community would see that all people can overcome divisions, that we truly are one as a humanity, and if the faith communities could get over it and paint their churches and mosques and synagogues yellow, maybe there would be hope. That's fantastic. But I think that's setting the bar a little low. You can paint all the churches, all the synagogues, all the mosques you want yellow. You could paint the Vatican yellow. You could paint Etch Mi'adzim yellow. You could paint Mecca yellow. You could paint synagogue yellow. Paint them all. But who meets in those places? People who are lost, separated from the promises, strangers to God's covenant. See, it's not enough that we unite humanity as good as it is. We need someone who can save us. We need more than that, and God has done it. He's done it. We have access to the Father by the Spirit in the Son. Got a little artistic in this next slide, okay? Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, too, you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Okay, let's see if we can build this. Christ himself is the cornerstone, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Who? It's the people of God. Fellow citizens with God's people. This is now Jew, Gentile. And that's really a picture for us today of all peoples, all nations, all being brought together in Christ, built on the apostles and prophets, having access to the Father through the Holy Spirit. That's this new temple. Again, in the Old Testament, where would you find God? In the Holy of Holies of the temple. But now, that's a crude representation of the temple of God, the new temple. From the beginning, Jesus knew he was going to replace the temple. Remember what they got mad? What was the charge they brought against him? Remember? He said he'd tear down the temple. Well, the Romans did that. But no, Jesus did it, didn't he? He tore down the temple and he's rebuilt it. And he is rebuilding. Jesus has done the impossible. Jesus has done the impossible. He's reconciled us to himself. And he's reconciled us to each other. So Turk, Armenian, Arab, Jew, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Hutu, Tutsi, all peoples, fellow citizens, members of God's household in a new temple. So, where's God's address? Oh, we need this. Next one, please. Read this with me. The Father lives in the body of Christ, the church, by the Holy Spirit. Let's read that again. The Father lives in the body of Christ, the church. Could you please go back? One more time. The Father lives in the body of Christ, the church, by the Holy Spirit. Where's God's address? Us. Please stand to receive the benediction. And now may the God of all grace, who calls us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, may he himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you as he does the impossible, as he builds his church. The gates of hell will not be able to stand. Amen.